Good afternoon, everyone. We're continuing on our learning of Psukei Dezimra and Tefillah in general. We're up to the section of Yehi Chavod. Yehi Chavod is a conglomeration of many different psukim, not only in Tehillim, but we'll see references to Devar Yamim and a little bit of Mishlei. Its source seems to be that people have said this for many years, going into at least the Gaonim. In Masechta Sofrim, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishnah Halacha Yud Aleph, it says that in Rosh Chodesh, they have to say Yichavod Hashem Malach and Mizmer Shir LaHashem, which implies that there was a liturgy known as Yichavod. They didn't have to embellish on the different psukim that were included in it. It was an established tefillah that was said during the davening. The Mati Moshe Simim Mem Test notes that this section has to be specifically said before Ashrei, and the Beis Yosef actually quotes an opinion who explains that the 21 Askaros, the names of Hashem, that are found in Yehi Chavod, correspond to the 21 Askaros, Shemos Hashem, which are found in Ashrei. And we'll try to develop, as we go through Yehi Chavod and Ashrei, potentially maybe Yehi Chavod is parallel or complements the Tefillah of Ashrei. We'll see that a little bit later. Interesting to note, though, that if you count the Askaros that you find in Yehi Chavod, you only find 19 and not 21. The Otzor Satzvila presents two different understandings of how to get to this number. Number one, he says that if you include the word, the Shem Hashem of Ka, Ki Yaakov Bechar Lo Ka, Yisrael Skul So, that one, as well as Ashrei, Shehashem El Ka, which is the introduction to Ashrei, which is not Ashrei itself, then you get the 21. However, he notes that the Gemara itself assumes that Ashrei is part of the actual tefillah of Tehillah LeDavid, which is the majority of the text is found in Tehillim Kuf Mem Hey, but the introduction of Ashrei Yoshvei V'Secha and Ashrei Amshkach Halo are also included in that liturgy, and it shouldn't be considered as part of Yichavot. And based off that, the Otzros Atzfil suggests that this medrash, or this mimer, follows the statement of Rav Amram Gaon, who notes that in Yehi Chavod, there were three psukim that were mentioned beforehand. They were Eil V'recha Ve'il V'asusa V'nachnu B'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Naskir. Then the next pasuk was Hema Karo V'nafalu V'nachal Kamenu V'sadad. And the third pasuk is Hashem Hashiyah Ma'achanenu V'im Karinu. So in those three psukim, there are two other askaros. That seems to be the 21. That seems to be the two other Askaros, which complete the 21 that are mentioned in Yehi Chavod. In terms of its meaning and content, we'll discuss. However, the Kaf HaChaim in Simen Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim notes that there are a lot of kavanos that are implicit in this tefillah. But we're just going to understand the basic pshat in understanding the structure of this tefillah and how it progresses throughout while reading it. In terms of structure, there are six parts of this tefillah. The first one is the first four psukim going from Yehi Chavod till Ramah Kol Goyim. It's basically a declaration of hope for a time that Hashem will be recognized and praised in the world. The second section is the next psukim, where we recognize Hashem's rulership, Malchus, in this current state of being. The third part of this structure consists of the next three psukim, where we discuss a future vision when society and also nature will declare Malchus Hashem, Hashem's rulership, which naturally or subsequently will remove those who try to conspire and go against his authority, Hashem's authority. The fourth section is the next three psukim, going from Hashem Efer Atas Koyim until Atas Hashem Le'olam Tamod, where we basically describe at length more about Hashem's ultimate control over man's destiny, and Hashem will guide the world even against those who are trying to derail it. The fifth section is again the next three psukim, where we note Hashem has control over all of reality. He created reality, and he also not only the natural world but also the Jewish people's fate as a nation. And the sixth section is the last three psukim, where it's basically a prayer, number one, to express ask Hashem for forgiveness and protection in the current environment where we find ourselves in the Golus. Just delving in into this, the details of the structure. The first part, again, like we mentioned, the first four psukim from Yehi Chavod until Rabba Kol Hagoyim is basically a declaration of hope for a time that Hashem will be recognized and will be praised by the entire world. So we begin with the psukim as follows. Yehi Chavod Hashem le'olam yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. May the honor of Hashem last forever. Let Hashem rejoice over all his actions. In terms of the Mefarshim, it seems to be that there are effectively three time frames in which this statement is being made. The Radak understands, in one of his understanding interpretations, that this is a reference back to the original creation. The Kvod Hashem is the honor of Hashem is when the world is completely created, and all that people experience in that reality is an expression of his Kvod. So the prayer is that may Hashem's honor of the past creation last forever, and Hashem rejoice over his creation. The Rambam understands this in the context of the present. Man witnesses now Hashem's honor by seeing nature's unchanging state through time. This again follows Rambam's understanding. He's referencing to two halachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One halacha is through miracles, one's through the natural world. And in the natural world, ironically, because it's so consistent, that shows an incredible amount of discipline that the natural world has following Hashem's orders, Hashem's will, and that's an expression of his honor as the world consistently throughout time that we experience now does not change, and that's a prayer that we should experience that honor, that recognition of Hashem's guidance of the natural world. Rav Hirsch understands this pasuk to be referring to a future prayer. Yichavod is a prayer hoping that man will come to realize Hashem's presence in the world in a more realized way. So Yichavod Hashem le'olam, it should be lasting forever. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, Hashem will be rejoice over his actions as when man recognizes in the future that reality. It's interesting to note that the Radak, in his second comment, an interpretation of this pasuk, explains that it almost similar to Rav Hirsch, understanding of this pasuk is referring to in the times of the Geula, when man reaches perfection, that all of the creation will be rejoicing because Yichvod Hashem le'olam, the Kvod Hashem will be forever in a future time when man is completed and able to fully serve Hashem properly, that all the world which is created to serve man, to serve Hashem, will be rejoicing because they're fulfilling their tafkid as well. The next pasuk, following in the stream of thought, is the pasuk of Yehi Shem Hashem Mevarach Me'ata Ve'Olam, with the name of Hashem be blessed forever, from now until ever. And we continue the next pasuk, Mimizach Shemesh Amavo'o Mulol Shem Hashem, going from east to west, which we'll explain what this was reference to. The Shem Hashem will be Mehulal, will be expressed feelings of Hallel. The Radak understands this, and this is basically the consensus of many of the Mefarshim, that this is a call that Hashem should be recognized in the world in the future. It's a hope that the people all over the world, from Mimizach Shemesh Amavo, referring to the people from all different areas of the globe, should recognize Hashem's presence in the world. Interestingly enough, the Malbim adds that not only is it that we should recognize Hashem's presence in the world, but it's a specific type of anhaga, a specific type of interaction, the interaction of Hashem's direct intervention, the supernatural effect, which is in contrast to the first pasuk of Yehi Chavod, which is the natural, a recognition of Hashem's natural control over the natural world. And the last pasuk of this section is Rama Kol Goyim Hashem, Al Hashemayim Kivodo. Hashem is Ram, lofty over all the nations. On top of the heavens is Hashem's honor. Again, following in the thread of praising Hashem and recognizing Him, the Radak explains that this is a praise of expressing Hashem's greatness and loftiness. Just going into the wording, the Radak notes that referring to the people of the population of the world, the reference is Ram, And with respect to the heavens, there's the expression of kavod. And the Radak explains that the loftier the being is, so there's man, and then there's angelic celestial beings, the closer and the more loftier they are to HaKadosh Baruch, closer to HaKadosh Baruch and loftier they are, the more they can have a recognition of what Hashem's kaviyachol, his greatness, how they can have a greater appreciation of Hashem's greatness. So for the nations of the world, it's a ram. Hashem's lofty, but we don't have a true appreciation and recognition of Hashem's kavod. But al shamayim, but in the upper spheres of either celestial beings or higher spiritual planes, then there's more of a recognition of kavodo. It's interesting to note, as the first few pesukim are trying to have this hope of more of a recognition of Hashem in the world, this final pasuk in this section either is referring to the current state of man, that he's not able to attain as much as the celestial beings, or there's this basic recognition that because we're physical, because we're not as lofty as the celestial beings, we're more limited in our appreciation, even as we progress. It's just an interesting point to note. Moving on to the next section. So after discussing our hope that we should have a recognition of Hashem in the world, we recognize Hashem's presence in this world as much as we can now. We discuss in the first pasuk of the section, Hashem Shemcha Le'olam, Hashem, your name is forever. Hashem Zechacha L'dor V'dor, Hashem, your remembrance is for generation to generation. It's interesting to note, as we're beginning this section, we're shifting to the first person, we're directly interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the first person, Shemcha and Zechacha, almost referring now back to our present state of being and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In terms of understanding this pasuk, the Radak sees it as one continuum, as if the end of the pasuk is explaining the first part of the pasuk. Hashem zechachal dor v'dor. Each generation, we recognize Hashem's. We remember the past and remember Hashem's miracles that He's done for the Jewish people. That allows us to have Hashem shemchal le'olam. That allows us to remember Hashem for eternity because we have that memory in our mind. However, the Malbim and Rav Hirsch see it as two different expressions of recognition of Hashem, not related to each other. Rav Hirsch understands that Hashem, Shimcha, Le'olam, is a reference to one aspect of our recognition of Hashem. Shem Hashem is a representative of a fact of Hashem's ultimate expression. And that is going to be Le'olam, as the word Olam, which means forever, comes from the word Olam, which also means hidden. So Hashem's ultimate expression in the world is going to be in a distant future that's hidden from us in the present time. However, the second aspect is more readily available. Hashem zechacha l'dor v'dor. We have a remembrance of your name, awareness, a hint of what your name, what Hashem's name is, the full expression of Hashem manifested in this world. We have a hint of that in this current time through dor v'dor, through recognizing Hashem as the one who's guiding each generation, navigating each generation to the next stage in the history of man. The Malbim understands this as two different expressions, also following his general theme in Tehillim, that these are two different hanhagos of Hashem. One is Hashem Shemcha Le'olam. That's the natural world. It's always there. It's constant. It's unchanging. That's one expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the other one is Zichacha L'dor V'dor. Through each generation, there's a different hashkacha that Hashem has applies to the world in order to facilitate Schar V'Onesh, to facilitate the Ratzon of Hashem to be expressed in the world. And this is through the more supernatural means of expression of Hashem in the world. Then, after discussing a call for recognizing Hashem in this world, we move to the next pasuk, Hashem b'shamayim yechik yiso u'machoso b'kol mashallah. Hashem establishes His throne in heaven and controls it over the land. Again, this is a expression, as the Malbim notes, of the current situation in the world. And it's a call, again, for us to recognize these two different aspects of Hashkachas Hashem. The first part is Hashem b'shamayim yechik yiso. This is a reference to Hashem defining and guiding the unchanging rules of nature. It's in Shemaim. It's in the heavens. Hashem has these set rules of nature. And that's what's being established to be applied on earth. But there's another aspect of U'machoso b'kol mashallah. Hashem has Hashkacha Pratis, a supernatural way of expressing His presence in the world. And that's through His memshala, His dominance over his malchus, his dominance over the all mashallah, all powers, which the Bible understands to refer to as celestial beings, the natural world. And Hashem has control even over that, expressing it through the supernatural world. After expressing a call to recognize Hashem in this world to our best of our ability, we then move to the third section, where we now have a future vision of what this future recognition of Hashem will be, both for man and society, and also subsequently removing all evildoers or people who want to stop that recognition from happening. So the first pasuk begins in this section, this third section. We say, Yisbechu Hashemayim v'sagei la'aretz, the Shemayim should be sameach, should be happy, and the earth should be have gil, also a form of happiness. The Yomer HaGoyim, and the nations will say, Hashem Malach, Hashem ruled. And then we respond, it seems like we're responding at least, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Yimloved, Hashem is the king, was the king, and will be the king forever and ever. And then we add, Hashem Melech Alom Ve'ed, Hashem is the current king, and Avdu Goyim Be'etzo, the nations of the world will be destroyed from his land. In terms of understanding this progression, the Malbim understands this future expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, also in the context of his two dimensions of Hashgacha Hashem, recognizing Hashem's Hashgacha, seemingly more in a more overt way, both in Yisbechu HaShemayim V'Sagei La'aretz. The Malbim notes that we use the word Simcha with respect to Shemayim, and the word Gil with respect to Aretz. And the Malbim explains that the word Simcha means a constant joy, and Gil means a new type of joy. And he notes that Shemayim represents the natural world, the unchanging world. So that Simcha is constant. It's that type of joy is a Simcha type of expression of joy, unchanging, because they recognize Hashem's constant, unchanging, natural involvement in the world. However, there's a second way of expressing his Hashgacha, that's Aretz. That's when it comes to people, the land. Hashem has a specific Hashgacha Pratis on people, on the world. And that expression of Hashgacha is new, and therefore it's appropriate to have the word Gil, a new type of joy, each time Hashem changes or expresses a different type of Hashgacha on mankind and the world in general. It's interesting to note that we mention Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch almost outside of, backwards, or not in the correct order of time. We first say Hashem is the king, Hashem was the king, Hashem will be the king. I don't have the exact source, but I think the Or Sameach is Meshech Chachma notes that Hashem Melech, Hashem's the king, that's very easy to recognize. We're in the present, we see things happen, and we have a more of a ready recognition of Hashem. Then we look in hindsight. Hindsight is much clearer with our expression. We look at the past, and hindsight is much clearer of realizing the past, and we could say, oh, Hashem was also the king in the past as well. And then the hardest part of recognizing Hashem is even going in the future, where we had no experience of the future. We don't have any memory of the future. It's only in the past. And we're because of our recognition of Hashem in the present and the past, we have the confidence to recognize Hashem and say Hashem is going to be doing that in the future. We understand how he interacts in the world, how he controls the world, how he created the world. And all that will help us internalize our ability to express Hashem Yimloch Yilom Ve'ed. Then at the end of this section, we mention Hashem is the king and he's going to destroy the nations. The Radak notes specifically that it's Avdu Goyim Eretzo, Hashem will destroy them from his land. As a seemingly a reference to Hashem's land, the land of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem will remove the nations of the world from Eretz Yisrael, and he will establish the Malchus Yisrael again on his land, seemingly an expression of Hashem's Malchus. Because Hashem is king, that will enable the Malchus of Yisrael to come back. In a different aspect, almost the foil of this point, is that, as Refresh explains, that the emphasis is not that Hashem is going to return the Malchus Yisrael, but more emphatically that the nations, the enemies of the nation of Bnei Yisrael, will be destroyed because Hashem is in control of the world now, meaning he's expressing his control over the world more, and subsequently destroying the enemies who are affecting his nation. It's interesting to note, just finishing off on the section, that the pasuk of Yismuchu Hashanayim v'saga aleretz v'yomer v'agoyim Hashem Malach is not a pasuk found in Tehillim, it's found in Divrei Yamim, actually. It seems to be we're combining different psukim to give a general idea of what the future is going to be like, at least through the lens of Malchus Hashem. After discussing the vision of the future, in the third section, we move to the fourth section, where we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate control over mankind's destiny, almost expressing in the present how we're going to get to this point in the future. We mention Hashem nullifies the thoughts of nations, he frustrates the thoughts of the people, and the pasuk adds, Rabbos Machshavos Balbish, there are many thoughts that man has in his lave, his heart, but the Eitzav Hashem, that's going to stand. The Radak notes, he tries to explain what this Eitzah of the Goyim is that Hashem is trying to destroy or to nullify. The Radak says it's either referred to the physical plans to destroy the Jewish people or the spiritual plans to destroy the Jewish religion through Kfirah. And at the end of the day, Hashem will be Mashkiach and destroy them, remove them or their plans from ever coming into fruition. Furthermore, in terms of just explaining the wording, the Malbim explains the word Eitzah, which is always seemingly found in the singular, refers to the goal, and the word Machshava, which is found in the plural, refers to the process. And there are many steps to a process. That's why the word Machshavas are in the future, or the plural tense, the plural form, versus the word Eitzah is always in the singular, because there's one direct goal through that Eitzah, through those many Machshavas. And we conclude in this section about Hashem's plans, Atzis Hashem l'olam tamod, Hashem's goal will always stand. Machshavos libo, l'dor, the Machshavos of Hashem will be lasting for each generation. The Bava explains, as he explained the word Eitz and Machshava by the Gentile nations, he uses it as well to explain Hashem's interactions in the world that basically counteract the Gentile nations' plans and goals. He says, Atzas Hashem l'olam tamod, the ultimate goal of Hashem will be la'olam, forever, unchanging. In the big picture, Hashem has a plan, and that's unchanging. However, the way Hashem gets to that goal is through many different hanhagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's per generation. According to each generation's needs, Hashem will change the situation, the setting, in order to facilitate man to get to that point of the ultimate Atzas Hashem. Rav Hirsch understands this pasuk and the last two pasukim completely different. Unlike the Malbim, who explains that these three pasukim are talking about a conflict between the non-Jews, the Gentiles' plans to destroy Bnei Yisrael, or the religion, and Hashem uprooting them, but rather, these three pasukim are talking about a progression from man's plans to hurt society and Hashem's corrections to fix that issue. And he notes that the word Goyim and Amim have two different connotations. The word Goyim has a connotation of nations as a state, and the word Amim refers to individual citizens within a community. And the Eitzah of Goyim, the Eitzah of nations, devoid of religion, devoid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a power struggle, of power and tyranny. And comes Hashem, the Atzah Hashem Yisakum, the ultimate goal is that we should have Atzah Hashem in our national, international relationships. Hashem does not want despots to overpower society. He wants it to be a nation of Atzis Hashem, whatever is good and right. And that is La'olam. That's going to take time. There's going to be a new world order in the future. That's going to take a lot of time to change. But ultimately, it will change and we'll get to Atzis Hashem. The second issue of human society nowadays is the Machshos Ha'amim. The individual citizens within each community, they conspire to overpower each other. There's a lot of greed and jealousy, and that's what's driving each individual to fight with the other neighbor. However, in the end, Hashem will stop this machshavos libo l'dor v'dor. Hashem's machshavos, those plans of how to interact with fellow people, are going to be stopped by Hashem. And seemingly Rav Hirsch understands that L'dor V'dor refers to a reference to that it's only that the Machshavos Ha'amim are only going to be lasting the Dor V'Dor for not a long time, and that's going to allow for change in the future. After discussing how Hashem, or the plan of Hashem's ultimate goals to change the world to become this more idyllic situation, and recognizing the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we recognize also Hashem's ability to facilitate this change, both in nature and through the Jewish people's historical fate. And we mentioned by saying, "Kiho amar v'yehu tzuva v'yamod." We first recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu's control, as He said, and it was, and He commanded, and it stood. The Radak and Rav Hirsch seem to understand this pasuk as a reference to a certain moment in time. The Radak says this is a reference to Hashem as the Creator. "Kiho amar v'yehi hu tzuva v'yamod." He has mastery over nature. Rav Hirsch understands this actually to be a reference to Gulas Mitzrayim. The events of Mitzrayim were all miraculous. He wanted them to be, and they stood, and they came to be. Both the natural and the supernatural are being referenced to allow us to remember Kadosh Baruch Hu's ability to control nature. The Malbim understands these two clauses as to actually be referring to two different expressions of our Yiras Hashem, or recognition of the awe and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first part is Ki Omar Ve'yehi. Hashem called existence to occur. That should inspire us to have awe. This incredible recognition of Hashem as the creator of this great and vast world. The second expression of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through fear of Hashem, real pachad. And that's through Ki Hu Tziva Ve'yamod. Meaning, not only did He create the world, He's allowing it to exist every single moment. He commanded it and it stood, the world continues to exist. And if Hashem deems not necessary, or if man does not fulfill his duty, Hashem can effectively, theoretically, withhold His existence and the world in general, and return to that original state of nothingness. And that is a fear, a source of potential fear, as if almost like the life is on the line, and we have to make sure to follow to do the right thing, to make sure that Hashem doesn't execute that strict level of justice. Then we continue, Ki Hashem, Ki Vachar Hashem B'Tzion, Hashem chose in Tzion, Yival Moshev Lo, and desired for it to be His dwelling place. Seemingly this pasuk is a little bit out of place. Why are we connecting Hashem as the creator, the controller of miracles? What does that have to do with Hashem establishing Tzion? So Schwab, on his commentary, notes that because Hashem controls nature, this is a follow-up of the previous pasuk, because Hashem controls nature, He controls the destiny of the Jewish people through controlling nature, as we experienced by Yetzias Mitzrayim, He too can define for Himself a place to dwell in this world and interact in this world. And on a simple level, this is referring to the Makom HaMikdash. The next pasuk adds, Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka Yisrael Luskuloso. For Hashem chose Yaakov for Him and Yisrael to be His skula. And just as a more nuanced point, the Malbim notes that the word Yaakov and Yisrael have different connotations. Yaakov is a state of Gavus. Yisrael is a more loftier spiritual state, both physically and spiritually. And while Hashem chose Yaakov as Hashem is close to Yaakov, no matter what state he's in, even a lowly spiritual state, if the Bnei Yisrael attain the status of Yisrael, a more loftier spiritual state, then Hashem will interact with them as a skula, as a treasure which is being constantly overlooked and cherished. And focusing on a different aspect of the Jews in Galus and their interaction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Hirsch notes that because Yaakov is in Galus, that actually becomes a source of a great Kiddush Hashem, that Hashem is invisible and able to control nature by saving Bnei Yisrael, who naturally would be destroyed if they were left to the natural whims of history. So in many ways, this last point of Rav Hirsch puts together the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural world, as well as in the supernatural world, because both aspects are highlighted through keeping B'nai Yisrael alive, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he controls nature and defined and created nature, also becomes a source of his ability to. Finally, in the sixth section, after discussing the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world in the Geula, in the future, where Hashem's presence is more defined, and in recognizing that Hashem in the present can control nature and control the fate of man because he controls nature and control and guides the Jewish nation in a supernatural way, we now basically return to the present and ask for two things. We ask for forgiveness from our Averos, and as well as protection while we are in this current status of Galus. And we note, we say, Kili Tosh Hashem Amo V'nachasol Lo Yazov. Even amidst the Galus, Hashem will not forsake his nation and his inheritance, he will not forsake as well. The Radak, as following the understanding of, as we've developed, we're talking about the B'nai Yisrael and the Galus, and Hashem saying Hashem will not give up on the Jewish people, even while they're in exile. Rav Schwab, pushing this explanation a little bit further, notes that this understanding, this pasuk, really follows the previous sentence, the previous words, that of Yisrael Sgula So, that even though the ideal state of B'nai Yisrael should be we're at the status of Yisrael, that we have this high spiritual plane, as the Malbim explained, and even though we're not there and we're only as Yaakov, Hashem still will not forsake us. Kili Tosh Hashem Amo, Hashem will not forsake us, even though we're in the Gullus and we're actually not just physically low, but we're also spiritually low. Hashem will still be with us and not forsake us. We ask Hashem, we make a comment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, almost effectively ask Hashem to ask for forgiveness. We say, and he is Rachum, he covers up sin, he doesn't destroy, and he increases his ability or his expression of bimeshiv af, calming his anger, he doesn't cause a great fiery wrath on the B'nai Yisrael. This pasuk again is referring, as mentioned in Hodu, is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mida of rachmanus, forgiveness, and we're trying to elicit that. The Malbim notes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually, given the pasuk's connotations, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be angry at B'nai Yisrael because of their sins, and we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to do so, to have rachmanus on us, which almost is similar to the point Rashi made, that in the Galus specifically, we haven't lived up to the spiritual heights as Hashem wanted, and we're still asking Hashem to allow us to live through the Galus by giving us a little bit more rachmanus, a little bit more time to develop ourselves and attain proper tshuva. We finally complete this pasuk, this section, by mentioning a prayer for protection, Hashem Moshiach, and salvation, Hashem Moshiach. HaMelech Eneinu V'Yom Kareinu. As we mentioned in Hodu, this has two interpretations. Either we are asking Hashem, who's the Melech, to save us, and he'll answer us on the day that we call out. Or, as other Mefarshim explain, as the Malbim explains, it's referring to the actual king, or David HaMelech, or the king in general, the ruler of B'nai Yisrael, and he's going to be responding, Hashem Hoshia, that Hashem will save us. We recognize that Hashem is going to save us on the day that we call out. And in many ways, that's a very fitting conclusion of the Perek, as we discuss recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world and hoping that this will be recognized in the future by all the nations of the world, and we recognize how Hashem is going to get us to that point. In this current state of Galus, where we don't have the clear expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first people who have to really take the mantle to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as us, and we have to be the ones who have to call Hashem Moshiach. And through that, hopefully, that will elicit a kapara, a protection, and hopefully a geula, enabling the entire greater world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So just to review everything that we discussed, there are six parts to the section. We are now in the Gullus. We are envisioning a future in which we recognize the Kvod Hashem. We recognize Hashem's plan in the future, the Shem Hashem, and we hope that the rest of the world, Mizach Shamish Amavo, will recognize that as well. And we also recognize that Hashem is Ramal Kol Goyim, Al Hashem Kvodo, that Hashem's Kvod is really only truly recognized the loftier the being is. In this world, we recognize Hashem's greatness, and we hope that to be recognize as well in the future. We move to the second section where we recognize now Hashem's involvement in the world. We say Hashem Shemchal Yolam, Hashem Zechachal Ador Vador. We recognize both his divine hagos, the natural world and the supernatural world. We recognize the past miracles that has occurred to us, that the Zechachal Ador Vador, which enables us to remember him better. And we also recognize that right now we have a Zechar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ador Vador, even though Hashem's shame, the ultimate manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world, is in the future. But we have something now. And currently as well, Hashem Hashmayim Hechin Giso, Machoso B'Kol Mashallah, Hashem's involved in the world both on a natural level and a supernatural level. Then we move to the third section where we recognize a future where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will be more fully recognized and people will declare Hashem's Malchus, and the nations of the world who try to argue that will be destroyed. We say Yisbuchu HaShemayim V'Sagal Aretz, both different manifestations of Hashem's Hashkacha will be recognized, and that allows the nations of the world, Yomer V'Gayim Hashem Malach, the nations of the world will declare Hashem was the king, and we'd respond seemingly Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach, Hashem Malach. We Hashem is the king, was the king, will be the king. We have such certainty in this truth, and because of that, Avdu Goyim Eretz. Because of that, Hashem will remove the nations of the world and establish the Malchus Yisrael again in the world. Now returning to the present, we discuss how Hashem is going to get us to that point. Hashem will nullify the plans of the non-Jews and the goals of the non-Jews who try to destroy the Malchus Yisrael, or the nation of Yisrael, as well as the Jewish religion. And they note that Rabbos Machshavos Belavish, there are many plans that man has to destroy this, to affect that. But Va'atzas Hashem Yisakum, Hashem's Eitz is going to last forever, and it's going to last. Atzas Hashem L'olam Tamo Machshavos B'Lodav Adar. Again, this is reiterating both the point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to defeat the nation's plans to destroy B'nai Yisrael, or alternatively, as the first explains, Hashem's going to inculcate a different world order, both on a international level and as well as an intranational level. The interactions of the world will be different because of Hashem's plans to facilitate that change, to be fitting into more of what He wants the world to interact as. After discussing that, recognizing Hashem's going to destroy the nations of the world and affect a world change, we explain how that's going to happen. We say Hashem is Amar Vayei Hutzi Vayamod. He created the natural world, as well as he creates miracles. And because of that, Ki Bachar Hashem B'Tzion, Yival Moshav Lo, for Hashem is going to be choosing Tzion, and he wants that to be a place where he's going to dwell. As Hashem controls the world, he can control the spiritual destiny of the world where he wants to dwell, his presence, and not only the spiritual destiny, but as well as the national destiny of the B'nai Yisrael, Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ya, Yisrael Iskuloso, because Hashem chose Yaakov to be his nation. And the point that we're emphasizing is that even amidst the Galus, now in the current state of Yaakov, Hashem wants B'nai Yisrael, because in the future they're going to be developing as either Yisrael Iskuloso, or Hashem just wants them to be an expression of his, in the current present state, expression of Hashem's control over nature as almost a form of Kiddush Hashem. And we conclude with this prayer. While we recognize that Hashem is going to change the world and bring the Geula, we still recognize and we call for Hashem to help us amidst this prayer. First, we declare that Hashem, Ki lo yitosh Hashem amo b'nachaso le'azov, even amidst the Galus, even though we're on such a spiritual low, Hashem will still not forsake us. And because of that, we're now going to ask for Hashem, for Kapara, to have Rachmanis over us, even though we're deserving. We ask Hashem to be Marbel Hashav Apo, we recognize that Hashem is going to be Marbel Hashav Apo, and not increase his anger, even though we're deserving of it. And we finish with a prayer of Hashem Hashiach HaMelech Aneinu V'Yom Kareinu. We say Hashem, we recognize that Hashem is going to save us, and more importantly, we're going to recognize that Hashem is going to save us. And that likely will facilitate the tshuva, as well as the protection through that recognition, hopefully being a seed that will enable the world to change through us starting to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us and bringing us to the Geula. And now just putting it all in the context of our davening, we initiated with Baruch Shamar, then we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these different prayers. And throughout Hodu, we have discussed about this as an introduction to Tefillah, where we recognize Hashem's committed to have a relationship with us. He wants us to follow His Torah. And then in the middle of Hodu, we were transitioning to the Jew in exile. We asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have vengeance on the nations, to save us through our actions, through chesed, through an undeserving kindness. We also recognize our duty to have bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that relationship will ultimately be manifested in the future when Hashem saves us, because we recognize that we had an impact on that relationship. And then we move to Mizmor LaSoda, where we recognize Hashem's interactions with us, that relationship we have with Him, that we belong to Him, He's going to watch over us. And even amidst the galus, we recognize that Kitov Hashem Le'olam Chasdo, Hashem's always expressing kindness and goodness to develop us. And even Ador Vador, even throughout each generation where there's trials and tribulations, it's Emunah So, Hashem has His faith, Hashem has a standing that He guarantees us that He's going to get us out and develop us to become greater people and change the world to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu more. And that's where we find Yichavod. The entire section of the Yichavod is discussing how we're going to get to that point. We recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we hope for a future vision of recognizing Hashem as the Melech, going to defeat all the enemies who are trying to to hold that manifestation from happening. And after explaining how Hashem is able to do that, as He created the world, He controls Jewish history, we ourselves come talk to ourselves and internalize the points that Hashem, number one, won't forsake us in the galus, even though we're not deserving. He'll give us a kapara, even though we're deserving of it. And that's all because we ourselves commit to recognizing that Hashem Hoshia, Hashem will save us. Hashem has a relationship with us, and He has the power and the will to bring us out and to develop us as a nation, and hopefully change the rest of the world with it as well.